Garudas are the great gold-winged pungbirds who formerly ate dragons. But now, thanks to the Buddha, they are vegetarians. They have a wingspan of 360 great yojanas. With one flap of their wings, they can dry up the seas and expose the dragons at the bottom. When they had eaten nearly all of the dragons, the Dragon King went to ask the Buddha for help. The Buddha gave the Dragon King a piece of his kashaya sash, and he distributed one thread of it to each dragon. Due to the inconceivable wonderful functioning of the sash, the dragons were safe from their predators, the gold-winged pungbirds. But then the pungbirds complained to the Buddha. "Buddha, you saved the dragons, but what about us? We live on the diet of dragons, and if we can't eat them, we'll starve." The Buddha told the pungbirds that they had to keep the precept of not killing. "Not killing is all very well and good, but if we don't eat dragons, we'll starve." "Don't worry," said the Buddha. "Every day when my disciples eat, they will send out some food for you." And so we now have the custom of reciting the offering mantra before lunch and sending out a bit of food to feed the pungbirds. They keep the five precepts and are one of the eight divisions of Dharma protectors. The Garuda bird is a Dharma protector for Shakyamuni Buddha. It is often depicted as perching on top of the Buddha's head. As to food and drink, in Buddhism, the morning is the time when the gods eat. The Buddha eats at noontime. Animals eat in the afternoon, and ghosts eat at night. Now, ghosts basically can never find food to eat. They watch people eating, and they try to snatch some of the food. When they hear the clatter of plates and silverware, they come running to steal food. But when the food enters their mouths, it turns into fire. This happens because their karmic retribution is so heavy that they cannot eat food. They mistakenly think that people use some kind of magic on the food and make it turn into fire, and so they get angry at people and fight with them or make them sick. This is why left-home people do not eat at night. Since the gods eat in the morning, when left-home people eat breakfast, they send out some food for the gods. They also send out food for the ghost mother and her children. This Rakshasa ghost mother used to eat human children. Why was she called ghost mother? Because she had 1,000 ghost children. She always led her own children to places where they could steal children to eat. They specialized in eating newborn children. As soon as a child was born, the ghost mother and her ghost children would devour it. This circumstance brought the great grief of lost children for many families. The families then went to the Buddha and asked for help. The Buddha knew that the ghost mother was eating all the newborn children. So he took the 1,000th, one of the ghost mother's children, her youngest one, and kept it in his bowl. Upon returning home, the ghost mother discovered that her littlest child was missing. She went everywhere looking for him, but to no avail. "Where did he go?" she wondered. When she passed by the Buddha's place, she listened and heard her child crying. She then figured out that her little baby ghost was stuck underneath the Buddha's bowl. Without hesitation, she tried to seize the bowl to save her child. But no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't budge it. Finally, she went back and got her other 999 children, and all of them tried to use their ghostly penetrations to move the bowl. But still, it couldn't be budged. Then they all went to negotiate with the Buddha. "Buddha, why have you taken my little baby away and put him under your bowl? You aren't being very compassionate, are you?" the ghost mother cleverly said. The Buddha asked, "How many children do you have?"
"I have 1,000 children," she replied.
The Buddha said, "Among your 1,000 children, you are missing only one child. Why are you so worried?"
"But I can't bear to lose even a single son," she cried.
The Buddha said, "You have eaten so many human children. How do you explain that?"
"Basically, I don't want to eat children, but I have nothing to eat. If I don't steal human children to eat, my children and I will starve to death."
The Buddha then told the ghost mother, "You are so frantic simply because I've put one of your sons under my bowl. How do you think the human mothers feel when you eat their children? From now on, you must not steal any more children to eat. You should take refuge with the Triple Jewel and uphold the 5 precepts." The ghost mother relented and did as the Buddha said. Then Shakyamuni Buddha told all his disciples to send out a portion of their food, maybe a few grains of rice, every day for the ghost mother to eat, and to recite this verse: "To the great golden-winged Pung bird, the multitudes of ghosts and spirits in the desolate wilds, and the Rakshasa ghost mother and her children, may you all be filled with sweet dew." Sweet dew represents food that tastes very sweet and delicious. No matter how many beings there are, they can all get their fill. Thus, the food offerings sent out in the morning and at noon are for the golden-winged Pung bird, the multitudes of ghosts and spirits, and the ghost mother and her children. Kinaras are also musical spirits. They look like people, except that they have a single horn on their head, and it's sometimes doubtful whether they are spirits or people. Kinara means doubtful spirit. Mohoragas are big snakes. They aren't skinny like most snakes. They are very fat. Natives of Guangdong province eat the flesh of these snakes. But then again, sometimes these snakes eat people. People eat them, so they eat people. During the time of Emperor Wu of Liang Dynasty, the emperor's wife was called Madam Shi. Emperor Wu believed in the Buddha and the Triple Jewel, but his wife was quite adamant in her disbelief, and she also had a vicious and jealous temperament. Because of her jealous nature and her disbelief in the Triple Jewel, after she died, she fell into the body of one of these snakes. This snake could speak, and it addressed the emperor, asking him to save it. "Do you know who I am? I am your wife. But because I didn't believe in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and because I didn't revere the Triple Jewel, I fell into the body of a big snake.
Hearing this, the emperor sent for Diana Master Jurgong to save her. While she was alive, the emperor's wife couldn't get along with Diana Master Jurgong. But when he came to save her, she bowed to him and repented. Diana Master Jurgong then wrote the repentance of the Emperor of Liang. He and other eminent monks bowed this repentance and crossed over the emperor's wife. Because of it, the emperor's wife cast off the snake body and was reborn in the heavens. When the Buddha was in the world, the Mahoragas took refuge with the Triple Jewel, and so they are also Dharma protectors within the Buddha Dharma. Non-humans refers to all kinds of animals. If living beings must be saved in any one of these bodies mentioned above, Guanshuyin Bodhisattva will manifest in such a body and speak Dharma for them. He contemplates all the gods, dragons, and the Eightfold Division, and manifests in the appropriate body to save them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a Vajra-wielding spirit, he will manifest in the body of a Vajra-wielding spirit and speak Dharma for them. The Vajra-wielding spirits are Dharma protectors. Long ago, there was a wheel-turning sage king who had 1,000 sons by his first wife. How could one woman have 1,000 sons? She had a very long life. However, he wasn't satisfied with 1,000 sons, and so he took another wife and had 2 sons by her. The 1,000 sons made a vow, saying, "We are going to cultivate and become Buddhas. We don't even want to be wheel-turning kings. We will do it in order and will draw straws." When they drew straws, Shakyamuni Buddha came up with number 4, and so he was the 4th to become a Buddha. In the future, there will be a 5th and a 6th Buddha. Now we are in the aeon called Worthy. The 1,000 princes from of old are to appear as the 1,000 Buddhas of this aeon. Shakyamuni Buddha is the 4th Buddha in the Worthy aeon. The 2 sons of the king's 2nd wife also made vows. One of them vowed, "When each of our 1,000 older brothers becomes a Buddha, no matter in what order, I will be the 1st to go and request that he speak Dharma." The 2nd brother said, "You're going to request the Buddha to speak Dharma. I'm going to make a vow to be a Dharma protector. Whenever one of my brothers becomes a Buddha, I shall go protect him." Thus, the Vajra-wielding spirit is just the son who made a vow to be a Dharma protector long, long ago, before the Worthy aeon. Sutra. Inexhaustible intention, Guanshuyin Bodhisattva has accomplished merit and virtue such as this, and in all manner of forms roams throughout the land, saving and liberating living beings. Commentary. Shakyamuni Buddha finished telling about the various transformation bodies of Guanshuyin Bodhisattva and said, "Inexhaustible intention, Guanshuyin Bodhisattva has accomplished merit and virtue such as this, and in all manner of forms, as mentioned above, roams throughout the land, saving and liberating living beings." Sutra. Therefore, you should all single-mindedly make offerings to Gwangshu Yin Bodhisattva. Gwangshu Yin Bodhisattva Mahasattva can, in the midst of fear, crisis, and hardship, bestow fearlessness. That is why, in the Soha world, all call him the bestower of fearlessness. Commentary. Therefore, you should all single-mindedly make offerings to Gwangshu Yin Bodhisattva. Don't have two minds, that is, don't have doubts. One mind means one mind of faith. If you have doubts, there's no merit and virtue and no response. You should make offerings to Gwangshu Yin Bodhisattva with one heart. Gwangshu Yin Bodhisattva Mahasattva can, in the midst of fear, crisis, and hardship, bestow fearlessness. That is why, in the Soha world, all call him the bestower of fearlessness. He can remove all of your anxiety and distress. The ninth day of the next month is one of Guanyin Bodhisattva's anniversaries. He has three anniversaries each year. The anniversary of leaving home, the anniversary of accomplishing the way, and the anniversary of birth. On these days, everyone should create merit and virtue. The entire Dharma Flower Sutra has seven rolls and over 60,000 sentences. It is one of the most important sutras in Buddhism. It is the sutra for becoming a Buddha. You should contact all your relatives and friends and let them know about the lecture series. In America, there are very, very few places where you can hear sutras expounded according to the Orthodox tradition. So we should pass the word around and write letters and generally let people know about the lecture series. By letting more people know about the Buddha Dharma, you are protecting and supporting Buddhism. If you influence them to come to the lectures, you create the greatest merit and virtue. When they come and listen, they study the Buddha Dharma and then have a chance to become Buddhas. When they become Buddhas, they will be Buddhas you created. If you can create Buddhas, you certainly don't have to worry about whether you will become a Buddha yourself. Sutra. Inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva said to the Buddha, World-honored one, I shall now make an offering to Gwangshu Yin Bodhisattva. He then removed his necklace of pearls, its value in the hundreds of thousands of ounces of gold, and offered it to the Bodhisattva, saying, Humane one, accept this Dharma offering, this necklace of precious pearls. Commentary. Inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva said to the Buddha, World-honored one, I shall now make an offering to Gwangshu Yin Bodhisattva. Having heard the Buddha encourage all beings to make offerings to Gwangshu Yin Bodhisattva, inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva decided to do just that. Even though inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva himself had already become a Bodhisattva, on hearing about Gwangshu Yin Bodhisattva's great merit, virtue, and awesome spiritual power, he still wished to make an offering, so as to mature his own blessings. He then removed his necklace of pearls, its value in the hundreds of thousands of ounces of gold, and offered it to the Bodhisattva. Immediately, without thinking twice, the beads were made out of the most expensive gems. Inexhaustible intention, Bodhisattva presented the necklace to Gwashiryan Bodhisattva, saying, "Humane one, accept this Dharma offering, this necklace of precious pearls." Humane one is a title used among Bodhisattvas when speaking to each other. Now, jewels basically are an offering of wealth, but why does inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva speak of it as an offering of Dharma? There are three kinds of giving: the giving of wealth, the giving of Dharma, and the giving of fearlessness. In making this offering, inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva didn't consider his gift as worth a great deal of money. He just wanted to present the necklace to Gwashiryan Bodhisattva. Why does the text say that its value was in the hundreds of thousands of ounces of gold? This was added by Venerable Ananda when he compiled the sutra. Inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva himself certainly didn't mention that the necklace was worth so much money. He wanted to make an offering to Gwashiryan Bodhisattva, and this necklace was something he liked. He gave it away as a token of his respect, to show that there was no notion of personal wealth between the two Bodhisattvas. Thus, although the necklace would appear to be a gift of wealth, it was given in the spirit of the gift of Dharma. This was sealing the mind by means of the mind. Sutra. Gwashiryan Bodhisattva refused to accept it. Commentary. Gwashiryan Bodhisattva refused to accept it. Inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva had offered a valuable necklace to Gwashiryan Bodhisattva, but the latter refused to accept it. Why? Because Gwashiryan Bodhisattva had come to the Dharma Flower Assembly to hear the Buddha speak the Dharma Flower Sutra, and as he hadn't received the Buddha's permission to accept offerings, he was polite and refused the offering. Besides which, Gwashiryan Bodhisattva didn't have any greed for such things. He wouldn't say, "What a valuable necklace! I'd better take it while I have the chance." To Gwashiryan Bodhisattva, there is no giver, nothing given, and no receiver. Offerings or no offerings, he sees them all as the same. Inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva had merit and virtue, but Gwashiryan Bodhisattva wouldn't accept the gift. Sutra. Inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva again said to Gwashiryan Bodhisattva, "Humane one, out of pity for us, accept this necklace." Commentary. Seeing Gwashiryan Bodhisattva refuse the offering, inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva again said to Gwashiryan Bodhisattva, "Humane one, out of pity for us, accept this necklace." He wasn't half-hearted about it, like most people. Most people would just say, "Okay, if you don't want it, I won't insist. I'll take it back." No. Instead, inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva got nervous and repeated his request. he said. Greatly compassionate and humane Bodhisattva, please pity me, inexhaustible intention, and all the four assemblies of disciples. I want to make an offering to you, humane one, on behalf of the fourfold assembly and all living beings. I am representing living beings in making this offering to you. I beg you to have pity on living beings and accept this offering. Sutra. The Buddha then told Guanshuryin Bodhisattva, you should take pity on inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva and the fourfold assembly, as well as the gods, dragons, yakshas, gandharvas, asuras, garudas, kinaras, mohoragas, humans, non-humans, and so forth, and accept this necklace. Commentary. Inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva had made it clear that he was determined to make his offering, and Guanshuryin Bodhisattva had made it clear that he was determined not to accept it. I don't want such a nice thing. I don't have any virtue. You keep it, he said. Inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva started bowing and begging him to accept it. Well, just at this impasse, Shakyamuni Buddha stepped in to intervene and present a solution. The Buddha then told Guanshuryin Bodhisattva, you should take pity on inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva and the fourfold assembly, as well as the gods, dragons, yakshas, gandharvas, asuras, garudas, kinaras, mohoragas, humans, non-humans, and so forth, and accept this necklace. Since they have brought forth their true minds to present you with this gift, you shouldn't refuse this offering. Sutra. Then, out of pity for the fourfold assembly, the gods, dragons, humans, non-humans, and so forth, Guanshuryin Bodhisattva accepted the necklace. He divided it into two parts. One part he offered to Shakyamuni Buddha, and the other to the stupa of Many Jewels Buddha. Commentary. Then, out of pity for the fourfold assembly, bhikshus, bhikshunis, upasakas, upasikas, the gods, dragons, humans, non-humans, and so forth, Guanshuryin Bodhisattva accepted the necklace. He accepted it, but then offered it right away. He divided it into two parts. One part he offered to Shakyamuni Buddha, and the other to the stupa of Many Jewels Buddha. No wonder Guanshuryin is a bodhisattva. Such a valuable thing, and he didn't want it. He accepted his offering and immediately transferred his gift to Shakyamuni Buddha and Many Jewels Buddha. Many Jewels Buddha became a Buddha measureless eons ago. He vowed that after any person became a Buddha and then spoke the Dharma Flower Sutra, he would rise up out of the earth into space and go to that place to certify the Dharma Flower Sutra as the most perfect of sutras. Shakyamuni Buddha spoke the Avatamsaka, Agama, Vaipulya, and Prajna teachings. When he was about to speak the Dharma Flower Sutra, Many Jewels Buddha emerged to certify it. Now, Guanxuyin Bodhisattva gives half of the necklace as an offering to Many Jewels Buddha. Sutra. Inexhaustible intention. Such is the self-mastery and spiritual power of Guanxuyin Bodhisattva, who roams throughout the Saha world. Commentary. Inexhaustible intention. Such is the self-mastery and spiritual power of Guanxuyin Bodhisattva, who roams throughout the Saha world. Thus, everyone should recite his name, Namo Guanxuyin Bodhisattva, and make offerings to him and revere him. Sutra. At that time, inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva used verses to ask this question. World-honored one, complete with wondrous marks, I now ask again, why is this disciple of the Buddha called Guanxuyin? Commentary. At that time, inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva used verses to ask this question. Verses are used to restate the doctrines of the previous prose passage so as to elaborate upon them. The verses to this chapter were not translated by Dharma Master Kumarajiva, the original translator, but were added later. World-honored one, complete with wondrous marks, I now ask again. The Buddha has 32 marks and 80 subsidiary characteristics. The Buddha's appearance is perfect and full. Why is this disciple of the Buddha called Guanxuyin? The Buddha is the Dharma King, and the Bodhisattvas are his disciples. Why is this disciple of the Buddha called Contemplator of the World Sounds? Sutra. The honored one of perfect wondrous marks, with verses answered inexhaustible intention. Listen to the practice of Guanyin, who skillfully responds in all places, with vast vows as deep as the sea. Throughout inconceivable eons, he has served many thousands of koti of Buddhas and has made great pure vows. Commentary. The honored one of perfect wondrous marks, with verses answered inexhaustible intention. Perfect means nothing lacking and nothing in excess. It also means perfect in both blessings and wisdom. But here we are not just talking about blessings and wisdom. We are talking about the perfection of the 32 marks and 80 subsidiary characteristics of the Buddha. He is perfect in all respects. Inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva asked his question in verse, and so the Buddha answers him in verse. Listen to the practice of Guanyin, who skillfully responds in all places. Guanyin Bodhisattva uses skillful expedients. He contemplates the potentials of living beings and dispenses the teaching. He manifests in the body of a Buddha, a Pratyeka Buddha, and so forth, to speak the Dharma according to the needs of the living beings being taught. He skillfully responds to the needs of the person. A skillful method is not fixed. It varies with the needs of the person. For this reason, the Vajra Sutra says, "There is no fixed Dharma called Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi." To save people, you need to know a lot of worldly dharmas. Let's say you become a Dharma master and you want to teach and transform people. You still have to understand a lot of doctrines. If you see a businessman, you might talk about business. How's it going? Making money? How's the economy? If you see a laborer, you might say, "How are working conditions? Are you really busy?" and talk about his work. When a person finds out that you care about him and his work, he'll be happy. Once he is happy, you can speak a little Buddha Dharma to him, and he will think, "Hey, that's pretty good." If you see a student, you can ask him about his studies. "How is science or philosophy?" And so the saying goes, prescribe the medicine according to the illness. Speak the Dharma in accord with the person. This is to skillfully respond in all places. We also say, with clever expedience, we save living beings, skillfully turning the dust of the world into the Buddha's work. All worldly affairs are turned with ingenuity into Buddha Dharma. With vast vows as deep as the sea, throughout inconceivable eons, he has served many thousands of koti of Buddhas. Guanyin Bodhisattva is in all respects subtle, wonderful, and inconceivable. He has served many, many millions of Buddhas and has made great, pure vows in every life. Vows of great kindness and great compassion. The realm of Guanyin Bodhisattva is indeed lofty, deep, and unfathomable. Sutra. I shall now tell you in brief that for those who hear his name or see him, and who are mindful of his name unceasingly, he can extinguish the suffering of all realms of existence. Commentary. Guanyin Bodhisattva made pure vows. What are pure vows? Pure means that they aren't made for one's own selfishness. They are public and unselfish. Guanyin Bodhisattva's vows are based on his compassionate wish to save living beings. Shakyamuni Buddha said to inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva, I shall now tell you in brief that for those who hear his name or see him, to hear Guanyin Bodhisattva's name, you must have good roots. If you don't have good roots, you cannot even hear Guanyin Bodhisattva's name, let alone see him in person. Now, we have all heard his name. To see him doesn't mean you necessarily have to see his physical body. It can also mean seeing a painting, or a statue made of clay, copper, iron, silver, gold, wood, or money. That's just the same as seeing him in person. And who are mindful of his name unceasingly. This means that you keep his name in mind and don't let the time slip by idly. You recite without wasting your time. Time is the most precious thing, more precious than gold. Don't waste your precious time. Instead, recite Namo Guanshiyin Bodhisattva. What advantages does recitation of Guanyin Bodhisattva's name bring? He can extinguish the suffering of all realms of existence. All of existence refers to the 25 planes of existence in the three realms. The realms of desire, form, and formlessness. Sutra. If someone is the victim of another's harmful intent and is pushed into a pit of fire, if he evokes the strength of Guanyin, the pit of fire will turn into a pool. Commentary. If someone is the victim of another's harmful intent. Let's say you go into business with someone and then the two of you take a trip together in the mountains. You are way up on a cliff and your partner realizes, if I push him off the cliff, I can have all the money. And if a person is pushed into a pit of fire, if he evokes the strength of Guanyin, the pit of fire will turn into a pool. Recitation of Guanyin Bodhisattva's name has great power and brings a great response. It is truly inconceivable. Now that we can hear this chapter of the Dharma Flower Sutra and understand this doctrine, we should always and everywhere recite the name of Guanshiyin Bodhisattva. If you recite the name of Guanshiyin Bodhisattva, in the future he will protect you. Such incidents are too many to be spoken of in full. Sutra. If someone is being tossed about in the great sea and is surrounded by the dangers of dragons, fish, and ghosts, if he evokes the strength of Guanyin, the waves will not drown him. Commentary. If someone is being tossed about in the great sea, with no sign of a shore anywhere, and is surrounded by the dangers of dragons, fish, and ghosts. There are poisonous dragons and Rakshasa ghosts in the sea. Big fish can eat people too. But if he evokes the strength of Guanyin, the waves will not drown him. Somehow, he will find himself in shallow water, transported to the other shore, or he will be saved by a boat or something. But if you don't recite the name of Guanshiyin Bodhisattva, or see Guanshiyin Bodhisattva, things can get very dangerous. I remember when I was in Hong Kong, I had a very bad disciple. In what way was he bad? He had hurt people. His name was Jiang. His family owned a Western pharmacy, and they were very wealthy. He imported Western drugs into Hong Kong. This was right after the Japanese had surrendered. Since it was right after the war, there were a lot of sicknesses and epidemics on the mainland. When he was on a boat coming back with a cargo of drugs, he pushed his business partner overboard. The business partner didn't know about reciting Guanxu Yin Bodhisattva's name, and he drowned. When Zhang returned, he made a lot of money. He also sold counterfeit drugs and made a fortune on them. He was incredibly rich. But eventually, the retribution caught up with him and he got cancer. Six of the most famous doctors in Hong Kong said that he would surely be dead within 100 days, that there was no way to cure it. He advertised in the newspaper saying that if anyone could save his life, he would pay that person $200,000 U.S., which was a considerable amount in those days. But no one could take him up on this offer, and so he came to Western Bliss Garden and asked me what to do. I said, "You should do good deeds and make offerings to the Triple Jewel. The first thing you need to do is to take refuge with the Triple Jewel. Next, make offerings. Then maybe you will get better." And so, on the 18th day of the 5th month, he signed up to take refuge. I encouraged him to make offerings to the entire Triple Jewel by presenting a bolt of sturdy cloth to every member of the Sangha in Hong Kong. At that time, many bhikshus and bhikshunis had come from the mainland, and they had no clothes to wear or places to live. There were 2,000 or 3,000 of them. I told him to give each of them $20, Hong Kong, that is, $15 U.S. He agreed to do this. Now, there were a lot of old Dharma masters in Hong Kong who, hearing that Zhang Yijie had taken refuge with me, manifested their spiritual powers. What do I mean? They sent their friends and relatives to talk to John to get him to go to their temples instead. The old Dharma masters all got people to climb on conditions, that is, to be opportunists on their behalf. All the old and well-known Dharma masters with status were after him. So Zhang went and did some merit at this temple and some merit at that temple. He had agreed to give each left-home person coming from the mainland $20, Hong Kong, as I had told him to. But he didn't do it. He gave them each a bolt of cloth, though not the good kind he had promised, but a kind of inferior quality, and he only gave them $5 each. Since I had already told the left-home people about this offering, I had to make up the difference. I borrowed money and made up the extra $10. Now, not one of them knew I had done this. Today, they still don't know. Monks know that other monks don't like to give money away. They prefer to receive money. In fact, there is a saying, left home people aren't greedy for money. The more the better. Zhang wanted to spend his money on something else, so I didn't say anything. Anyway, 100 days went by and he didn't die. All the Dharma masters said, "We did it for you by bowing repentances." Each one of them claimed that he was responsible for saving Zhang's life. "I bowed to the Buddha every day for you. That did the trick." They all did their bit. I didn't claim to have anything to do with it, and I had nothing to say to him about it. 6 years passed, and he hadn't died. At the time, I was building Sixing Monastery on Dayu Mountain on Lanto Island. He heard I was building a temple, and since he was a disciple, he sent a servant to me with a small amount of money. The servant brought the money and said that Zhang wanted to help me build the temple. I didn't even look at it. I just threw it out the door. I said, "His money is not clean. It didn't come in the proper way. Give it back to him." This scared Zhang nearly to death. He went to one of the groveling Dharma masters, Dingxi by name, and tried to get him to give the money to me with some compliments. I said to Dingxi, "The work here is done. I don't need any money. He can do some other kinds of merit and virtue with his money. There are so many Dharma masters and temples. Take it somewhere else." The old Dharma master was a bit embarrassed. Another 2 years went by, and then, in the first month of the year, I announced, "Zhang Yujie took refuge 8 years ago. He said he was going to offer $200,000 to build a temple. It hasn't happened yet, and I am not going to wait any more for it to happen. However, after this, no matter what kind of problem he has, I am not going to pay any attention to it. He can kneel in front of me until he dies, but I'm not going to pay any attention to his business." Less than 6 months later, his cancer returned. He sent his relatives to me because none of the other temples could bring him a response at that time. So he came to me, but I said, "I already announced in the first month of this year that I was no longer going to pay any attention to Zhang Yijie's affairs." I didn't either, and he died of cancer a few days later. His younger brother had committed suicide earlier by jumping into the ocean. That was before Zhang took refuge with me. Soon after, Dharma Master Dingxi, who had taken advantage of Zhang Yijie, also got cancer and died about a year later. Probably Zhang's ghost had gone to get him, saying, "You said that I was cured because of the repentances you bowed, but I still died of cancer." The laywoman who had convinced Zhang Yujie to go to Dingxi also died of cancer. The three of them were of one substance. They stuck together while alive, and they all died of cancer together. Zhang Yujie died because he had pushed his business partner into the ocean. His partner couldn't recite Guanyin's name, and so he became a vengeful ghost and caused Zhang to have cancer. Basically, since Zhang had taken refuge with the Triple Jewel, if he had truly brought forth faith, he wouldn't have died. But his faith was not solid, and so even though he didn't die after 100 days, he died 8 years later. His family is still very rich, but when he died, he couldn't take any of it with him. All of the money he cheated out of everyone was useless. It all went to his other younger brother. Why did his business partner drown? Because he didn't recite Guanyin Bodhisattva's name. Sutra. If someone is on the peak of Mount Sumeru and another person tries to push him off, If he evokes the strength of Guanyin, he will stand firm as the sun in space. Commentary. If someone is on the peak of Mount Sumeru and another person tries to push him off. Mount Sumeru is the name of the highest mountain. However, the text here doesn't mean just Mount Sumeru. It could be any high place. Sumeru is a Sanskrit word that means wonderfully high. Being on the peak of Mount Sumeru here can also mean that people flatter you and praise you until your ego soars to lofty heights, and then they pull the carpet out from under you, leaving you with nothing to stand on. That's also being pushed off Mount Sumeru. If he evokes the strength of Guanyin, he will stand firm as the sun in space. The sun in space shines for 10,000 miles. Even if people put you on a pedestal and then let you fall, you will have samadhi power and will not be upset. This is as when, in praise or blame, his mind doesn't move. Sutra. If someone is pursued by evil people who want to throw him off of Vajra Mountain, if he evokes the strength of Guanyin, not a single hair on his body will be harmed. Commentary. If someone is pursued by evil people who want to throw him off of Vajra Mountain, who are evil people? Those who don't listen to reason. They specialize in murder and arson. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. Your money is mine. My money is mine even more so. Does that make any sense? Evil people are completely unreasonable. They use force to oppress others and have no respect for others' rights. Suppose a person is pursuing someone else. He keeps his eyes on his victim all the time and waits for him to fall asleep so that he can push him off a steep cliff and steal his money. However, if he evokes the strength of Guanyin, if the person who is being pursued is mindful of Guanyin, not a single hair on his body will be harmed. The Vajra Mountain represents a high and solid place. When meeting with a danger like this, if you don't forget to recite Guanyin Bodhisattva's name, you will certainly obtain a great response, and the Bodhisattva will save you. This is called, you meet with misfortune and it turns lucky. You encounter disaster and it becomes auspicious. The danger will no longer be dangerous. That's how efficacious this dharma is. Sutra. If someone is surrounded by vicious bandits who threaten him with knives, if he evokes the strength of Guanyin, the bandits will all give rise to compassion. Commentary. Everything that people encounter has to do with former causes and latter effects. Now we meet up with bandits. before it was evil people. They weren't outright robbers. But robbers are just outright murderers, and they do all kinds of evil. They will do anything except what is good. Perhaps they are our enemies because in past lives we stole from them, killed them, or treated them badly. Thus, in this life we meet them as enemies. It is said, if you kill, you will pay with your life. If you owe money, you will have to pay it back. This is all a matter of cause and effect. Since this is so, if we encounter hateful enemies, we should not hate them in return. We shouldn't curse the heavens or resent people. Manjushri Bodhisattva once told this story. In every life, life after life, I never stole anything from anyone. How can I prove it? I will take my most priceless jewel, put it right by the city's gate for 3 days without keeping my eye on it, and no one will take it. This will prove that I never stole or coveted others' goods. Some people didn't believe him, so they tried it out. They put the jewel right by the gate where everyone walked. 3 days went by and no one touched it. Manjushri Bodhisattva was able to do this because he never stole. Now, we meet with hateful enemies, and this proves that we are receiving retribution for deeds done in former lives. And so, if you lose something or take some loss, you shouldn't take it too hard and get all upset. You are just undergoing what you deserve. If someone is surrounded by vicious bandits who threaten him with knives. This reminds me of when I was at Nanhua Monastery for 1 year. The day before Guanyin Bodhisattva's anniversary, which was on the 19th day of the 9th month, some bandits showed up to rob Nanhua Monastery. The bandits knocked on the door and I refused to open it. Finally, they beat the door down and suddenly I found myself surrounded by guns. It was a tight situation, but I didn't feel afraid at all. I said quite casually, "What are you pointing those guns at me for?" "Why didn't you open the door?" they demanded. "If you were me," I said, "would you have opened the door?" "No, I didn't open the door because you are coming to steal from me, not to give me a present." "Give us your money," they demanded. At the time I was wearing a rag robe, I said, "Take a look at this robe. Do I look like someone with money?" "Then who has the money?" they said. I said, "I am the teacher here. These are my students. If the teacher has no money, how could the students have any?" "If you don't believe me, you can take a look in my room. You can take anything you want. Any treasure you find. Go right ahead." At the time, I really did have 2 treasures in my room. They were living treasures. When the bandits came, they were so scared that they couldn't even walk. They crawled around saying, "What shall we do? We're scared." I said, "Don't be afraid. You can hide under my bed." Hearing me tell the bandits that they could take whatever they wanted, these 2 treasures were terrified. They were so scared that their teeth were chattering. Well, the bandits didn't go in. Dharma Master Huai Yi saw me talking with the bandits in such an amicable manner, and so he came out of his room. The bandits turned around and pointed their guns at him, and he burst into tears. I said, "He doesn't have any money. Talk to me." At that point, they were surrounding him, and he led them to his room. They got about $200 from him, probably several years' worth of savings. The next day it was announced to the 200 monks that I was the only person who had not been afraid. I said to everyone, "I'm not the only one who wasn't afraid. There were four of us. The first was the sixth patriarch. He sat there in samadhi, thus unmoving. Take what you want, bandits. I'm not paying any attention to you. The second was the patriarch Hanshan. He also sat in samadhi. The third was the patriarch Dantian. He didn't have quite the samadhi power since he turned his head to look at the bandits." I said that because his flesh body does lean forward a bit. "The fourth was myself. I was only number four." And so, if a person meets with bandits who threaten him with knives, if he evokes the strength of Guanyin, the bandits will all give rise to compassion. The bandits didn't hit me or shoot me. No doubt that was because I recite Guanyin Bodhisattva's name. They started out very fierce, but eventually they became subdued and kind. When they saw me in my rag robes, they thought, "This monk is really pitiful."